T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sit on the couch.
I don't do much.
Burn trees.
That sounds like a good life.
Paper cuts, counting money. You've never heard that?
I got some friends living that life right now. It's not a bad life.
When he said, I get paper cuts, counting money, that's when I knew Beanie was...
Yeah, I know. Paper cuts, that's
a good feeling. One.
It is a great feeling, because you ever had a paper cut, counting money?
No. Never had enough to do so.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I'm not even going to lie and say I got a paper cut on that. Everyone's having a true story. I went to City Hall. I had to pay these tickets off, right?
Oh.
And I thought I was balling. I got a financial aid check, right? So I like all cash.
Okay.
And they're like, you gotta put your keys and stuff, go to the metal detector. I dropped like $600 in the thing, and the security guard was like, damn, you balling. I thought I was the man. I had $600 in my pocket counting like paper bag money. It's like, I got it. Yeah,
that was, I bet you were gripping that real tight all the way out the
tight.
Door.
Oh, real tight.
I don't want to run into anyone.
Financial aid, buddy. Can't get jacked for my financial aid, buddy.
So I went to 850 yesterday, as you bring up City Hall. And
jury duty.
I got out.
Oh, that's nice.
For 6 months.
For 6 months.
September 23rd, I'm going to have to report back.
Somebody said, you guys were pre-Super Bowl cheerleaders, too. 5-1-0.
Yeah.
That video didn't age well.
A lot of our videos, you know, they're to be consumed in real time. They don't necessarily age as well.
We've had a lot of videos that age well.
There's an expiration date on some of our videos.
Trey Lance.
You know, now it's comedy.
That may have been the greatest video we've ever done. You don't realize how many people we gassed up with that video.
Well, I still believe the Philadelphia video, walking to the stadium, it got like 5 or 6 or 7 million views.
Video. I like that. I don't brag about that enough. We don't brag about that enough. But the Trey Lance videos all the time, because I remember getting home and Adam Schefter out of nowhere, hey, fellas, word out of Santa Clara is, and he was smiling from ear to ear. Trey Lance was taking a lead.
But that's something I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I'll go down swinging on that take,
even though
I was wrong. I was clearly wrong. But so was the coach, because that's who he picked.
Right.
Right? So if you believe in the coach, like, the coach is the one who... I didn't do it. He's not drafting guys because Joe Shasky says it.
I love Shasky going and pivot off of this. Shanahan was in that boat with us.
Well, he was.
Well, also the voice of the Niners.
The voice. Because I'll never forget. The boat didn't have a lantern, but the boat was in the water.
Dude, I'll never forget when Trey Lance rode out to the sideline right in front of us, in front of the fans, and he let go of a deep ball. I'm sitting behind Greg Papa and Joe Shasky. The play was over, and all three of us are on the hash marks on the football field.
DJ Jones was too.
The whole team. We all ran on the field to see what happened.
Fred Warner pulled his helmet off and said, that boy's got an arm. Dude, quote, unquote.
Dude, it was like, it was unbelievable. But
point being is, anybody who says they knew Trey was going to be a bust in the beginning, okay, well, all right, got it. All right, I didn't hear you, because we took a lot of calls. Well, a lot of calls. And I remember when Mac Jones was playing well, people, they should have taken Mac Jones. All right. It comes to find out, really, none of the quarterbacks in that draft class are any good.
Nobody. We all missed.
19 of the 24 guys taken in 21 and 22 are out of the league already, which is crazy, essentially.
We all missed.
This brings me to James Wiseman. And the retconning on opinions regarding James Wiseman, it's laughable. You and I, during the 15-win season leading up to it, we had launched a new show, okay? We had launched a new show.
The Morning Roast.
And I remember when I filled in prior to that during what I call COVID radio. Remember where we were as a station?
Yep.
Most people maybe weren't in the car because they weren't driving, they weren't working. I get it. We did draft talk for 6 months leading up to that draft. 6 months. We couldn't find an expert. We couldn't find a fan outside of a couple of harebrained ones who wanted anyone other than Wiseman or LaMelo Ball.
I'll never forget. I brought up my guy Jason from Chicago, who works for TNT right now and inside the NBA and all their broadcasts and March Madness as well. Jason's a diehard Niner fan. And I remember Mark Spears from ESPN. Both those. Jason was like, yo, dog, y'all got to get Wiseman, dog. He reminded me of Chris Webber. Remember, I kept saying, I kept bringing that up, and then Mark Spears, and then every insider we talked to, James Wiseman, hell, even Sam and Andy, and I love those guys from the Light Years podcast. I was on their show during the draft when Wiseman got selected. Now, we're all doom and gloom because Clay, the Clay news that came out.
Yeah.
But when Wiseman got picked, I asked Sam and Andy, I said, is this the pick? Do you take him over LaMelo? But you got to take James Wiseman.
But here's the thing I want to make
and
sure.
And now the rhetoric on James Wiseman is, it's kind of nasty out
but
there.
But here's the thing, like, how can you sit here as a Warrior fan when you saw Jimmer go ahead of Clay, when you saw two point guards go ahead of Steph Curry, and say that there isn't a level of luck sometimes involved in these things? The Warriors got very unbelievably lucky with what happened prior, and they nailed those picks for a variety of reasons.
Not only the picks, Shasky, because I'm going to let you continue here, but they got lucky with the television contracts and having Steph Curry on one of the biggest bargains in sports, which allowed you to sign Kevin Durant.
Which, because
And it allowed you to sign Kevin Durant.
Four-year,
$44 million deal.
It
allowed you to have wiggle room to sign Kevin Durant.
Even after 1 year for Steph, Tyreek Evans was the rookie of the year. And again, like, we could say, oh, I knew right away. A lot of people are like, maybe he's a sixth man. I don't know if he's a point guard. I don't know if he's a shooting guard. I'm not even sure. So going back to Wiseman, not one person on the planet that we took a text, a YouTube chat. I don't even know if YouTube was launched there.
There's a few people on LaMelo Ball.
No. No one said Halliburton.
Nobody said, Halliburton was not there.
But
there was talks about the Warriors trading down to maybe get Halliburton, but that was that.
Yeah, and you still need another team to be able to execute that trade. So we don't know if other teams were actually going to make that trade. Not one person said Halliburton at two.
Nobody.
Everyone said, you can't take him at two. Can't take him at two. And look, he's two teams. He went to the Kings first and then went to the Pacers.
But also, just from a basketball standpoint, Halliburton needs a ball in his hands, right?
And they had JP at the time.
They had Jordan Poole. Yeah, Steph Curry. They had Klay Thompson coming back. So where was the room? Where was the ball going to go?
The point that I want to make is it's not necessarily – they whiffed on the Wiseman pick. But to retcon it and say you knew Wiseman was going to be a bust from the beginning, I never heard from those people.
No. And really, through year one, you can't say he was a bust. Because Anthony Slater – I'm glad Anthony Slater brought it up just last week about Wiseman. Because I thought I was tripping. I talked to Bully all the time about this and Fezzi all the time about this. That was my first year on Warriors pre and post, so I watched all those games with him and hear from the Hall of Famers and watching it. Think about James Wiseman's first ever game. Happened in Brooklyn, New York against Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Now, the Warriors got blown out.
Mm-hmm.
But you could make the argument that Wiseman was the fourth best player on the floor in a game that had Draymond Green, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and many, many more. And James Wiseman may have been the fourth best player in that game. And then Christmas Day, a few days later, against Giannis. Remember, we can't talk about his first half against Giannis. Like, wow, he's just 18, 19 years old. And he's going at Giannis Antetokounmpo. Anthony Slater reminded everybody last week. Because I say that it's like, oh, you're just a homer, you're a hot take artist. But Slater came out and said, people forget he was ascending. The pick and pop game from three, the pick and pop game for the mid range. Coming in that Clippers game after being benched for the first three quarters, he responded by going 7-7 in the fourth quarter, score 14. We're like, okay, the young man's getting better and better and better. Now, I remember doing a Zoom with him when he had COVID. He was in Miami. We did the Zoom for an hour. I was like, you know what? This young man's fun. A lot of people are ripping on him personally. This young man's okay. He's getting better. And then, next thing you know, he suffered a knee injury. And it wiped out an entire season for him, and he was never able to get back. But yesterday, he dropped 14-11. He's had highlights this season with the Pistons, and he's getting better with playing time. Now, he's going to be an all-time center. I have no idea. But we all forget Wiseman was the pick. We all said they need a big. They need a big to help evolve this offense, and he was the next wave, the next generation of bigs. So let's not act like he was a bust.
No, I think we're acting like the Warriors were the village idiots, and it was like the worst. Like, it's as if they drafted Todd Fuller.
Right.
That's the way people talk about it. It's like, come on, man. Like, really?
Nah.
And then look at some of the other picks around him. Like, okay, LaMelo Ball was a nice man.
He can't stay on the court.
But look yourself in the face. LaMelo was going to play with Steph Curry.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
And Draymond Green.
LeVar Ball already came out and said that he doesn't want to sell playing for Steve Kerr anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Patrick Williams, he's a nice player as he's a role
okay.
guy.
He's okay.
No one was taking him too.
So he's not playing over Kamiga and Wiggins.
Isaac Okoro.
He's okay, but he's a role player.
Okay, Killian Hayes.
Come on, he's been cut by the Pistons.
Like, so look, Wiseman can't play. And it health, the fit, the inexperience, is a variety of reasons why. But let's not act like, I wanted Obi Toppin, who's on what, how many different teams? He's been on three different teams?
No, second team.
I thought, okay, but you get where I'm going? Like, so this retconning of that draft, they missed. They whiffed on the pick. I'm not even caping up for him. But I didn't hear from fans in real time clamoring for other guys.
And what we thought last season, going into the season, was you just won a championship, and Kuminga and Wiseman didn't even contribute yet. Wait till they... We were so excited about last season with these youngsters. And it all, you know, things happen. Things happen in sports. It won't be the last time the Warriors whiffed on a pick. It won't be the first time. How many times have the Niners whiffed on a first-round pick?
I mean, they did it with Trey Lance and then found Brock Purdy.
Right. So things happen. And maybe that was lucky. Maybe he needed a little luck.
Of course it was.
It was the last pick in the draft.
I always think about this with Steph Curry. And you could say, Joe, you're tripping. Because no one ever brings this up. Baron Davis opted out and went to the Clippers.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep.
Like, Baron Davis was everyone's favorite Warrior at the time. Right? Wouldn't you agree?
He was.
Everyone's
and he opted out and went
Warrior.
Down to L.A. We're all disappointed.
Disappointed? We were heartbroken.
It turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
It was one of the great... Thank God it happened.
You have Barry Davis. You may not draft Stephen Curry.
Exactly.
You may be drafting Jordan Hill out of Arizona. Who the first thing he did during his pre-draft visit was ask how the nightlife was in Oakland.
Oh, my God.
That was the first thing he asked. How's the nightlife out here? Yeah, we're not taking this guy.
And thank God Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio went ahead of Steph.
Wow. How about that?
I mean, so like the point that I'm getting at is sometimes you do have to get lucky, but at the same time, just because you miss on a pick, it doesn't make you morons.
And
it really bugs me when I see that.
But when I see our own fan base killing James Wiseman, it does hurt me a little bit personally because the kid's a good kid. He's a good kid. It's like, ask yourself how many 20-year-olds or 21-year-olds had the gall or the confidence to join a team with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. For a 20-year-old, you're playing video games with these guys. You were a babe. Like, this guy was a teen before puberty watching Steph Curry win championships. And all of a sudden, you're playing with them. You're like, you know how hard that is?
But the way we talk about the failed guys, for example, Trey Lance, James Wiseman,
to me, it's
disgusting because, again, like, these are kids, you know what I mean? And we're dehumanizing them.
No, we are.
Crush them.
Well, Wiseman's last three games.
Because the guy can't complete an out pass
or whatever. Well, let me tell you, though. Wiseman's last three games, 24-9-4, 15-11, 14-11. Those are not scrub numbers.
Yeah, but we can.
I don't care how many games the Pistons are losing. I don't care what talent they have, Shasky. Those are big boy numbers. Those are not bust numbers. So, suck to Darren Revelle on the other side. Plus, take these calls. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Vonte and Shasky.
All right, shout out to YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today. This show's flown by. Wow, it's already 9:20. I was struggling this morning getting up, man. Struggling. I was up late playing my Madden franchise. I got some ballers, man. Beat the Niners in the Super Bowl 38-37 in overtime.
You know what I was doing yesterday?
What happened?
Setting up LJ's room.
Oh, nice.
Hanging curtains. Yeah. Hanging
pictures. You're late to the party.
Well, cribs. No, Michelle has... No, the cribs, all that stuff's been assembled. Michelle has ordered and returned 7,000 things.
I don't know, Joe.
Driving me nuts.
I'm
cardboard
gonna,
boxes everywhere.
I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm not trying to get on Michelle's.
But my new Milwaukee drill bits, they were working great.
No Makita?
No, I went Milwaukee.
I just realized in The Sopranos they were still in Makitas.
Yeah. And then Chris got angry.
Yeah, it was just Paulie's a dirtbag for that.
It's father-in-law, man. He can't be
disrespecting. Yeah, you can't be doing that. By the way, download the free Odyssey app and listen to 95.7 The Game wherever you go. You catch every Warriors game live on the app, along with all the music and news the Bay Area needs. Catching amazing interviews you missed, too, like when Jason Temp joined Steiny and Evan last week. Trayce Jackson-Davis is questionable today, questionable for the Miami Heat game. They definitely need him. Miami Heat, pardon me, 7th in the Eastern Conference right now. Warriors, obviously, are 10th, and the Warriors are 5-7 in the month of March. And their opponents have been hurting them from three. Opponents are making 15 threes a night and shooting over 39% from three in the month of March. So the Warriors got to do a better job defending the three-point line. All right, with that said, we've been talking about gambling today. We know about Shohei Ohtani. We'll dive deeper into it and just what to make of gambling in sports. This is going to be nasty. There's going to be a lot of cases here like Jonte Porter in the near future. You have to think. So let's talk to Darren Revelle, formerly of ESPN, sports business reporter. He's got a big announcement coming up in a few weeks. But Darren, thanks so much for joining us this morning on 95.7 The Game on such short notice. Josh Askin, the Butcher, Bonte Hill. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well.
Awesome. So what do you make of the Shohei situation here after his statement in which he did not, he basically requested to not have any questions go his way.
I kind of believe him.
I kind of believe him.
I don't think he's the and originally I was like, he's the gambler. We're going to have a L.A. Times or whatever, San Francisco Chronicle, whatever. You know, it's going to say it ain't show. But, you know, I actually do believe him. I'm just trying to figure out the part where the translator gets access to his account, no matter how great of friends they are, and the translator had said that they spent 365 days a year together. I don't know of any person, including my wife or even my children, I want to, you know, spend 365 days with. But even the foreign thing, and you know, yes, you don't have that many friends, you don't have any confidants, now you have one. Still don't know how you get access to the bank account.
Well,
now,
that was my biggest question, Darren. How does he have access to his financial resources? My fiance doesn't have access to my financial resources. How does an interpreter have access to your financial resources?
Right. So the only thing I can come up with is that the agents and the financial advisors sometimes do have power of attorney. They sometimes do. They're writing checks for these guys, and they're doing that. And that's how, you know, Tim Duncan got had. And there's a bunch of guys who give carte blanche to their financial advisors. Now, this is the scenario where, and I tweeted this last night. This is the scenario where this story is over. I gave power of attorney to my financial advisor or my agent, and this guy called my agent and said that this is how, you know, that they wanted to create some sort of account, and it was coming from Shohei's request, and the agent never called Shohei. Then it's possible. That's my, in my mind, kind of how this would have worked out, because I don't believe that he has access to Ohtani's bank account. Absolutely not. But I do think, because of the language barrier, it's possible that the translator could have corresponded with someone who did have power of attorney, made his own decision, say, hey, you know, he needs $4.5 million set aside here, and then not gone back and told Ohtani. To me, that's how I've reasoned this could have possibly worked out.
It's crazy mental gymnastics. Can we just stop on one thing? So you're saying these guys are besties, which is what they've been alluding to. Well, at least they're together all the time. If you've ever been with anyone who has a couple of ducks on a game, or even fantasy, which we're talking about tiny scraps, not even real, you know right away the way to throw the ball to Deontay Thompson. Like, we see this all the time. You really believe that he didn't know that his homeboy, who he spends every minute of every waking day with, didn't have money on everything?
He had to know that.
That's what
right.
I'm saying.
He had to at least know that, right? Because, you know, when who's the backup Rams quarterback, John Wolford or whatever?
Wofford.
That was a couple years ago.
Wofford.
This year that we saw Wentz got a start.
Last year,
I had. I had a tremendous, you know, I don't do a lot of parlays because parlays aren't winners, but I did do a parlay, and it was to win like $9,000. And the only thing that could have happened is the Rams could not, and we could find the game, but the Rams could not have gone down the field to score a touch. I mean, didn't need any more points, and the Rams start at their 5-yard line with him as the quarterback. And I'm sitting here, and, you know, normally on a Sunday, working previously for the Action Network, you know, so I got the computer on my lap, my family's around, And he goes and goes all the way down the field. Oh, I know who it was. It was against Arizona. Because I called J.J. Watt afterwards. I was like, did you go off the play at the end? Anyway, he scores a touchdown, and I am normally very even-keeled. My wife, I make an effort for my family not to know when I'm betting. And I remember I went ballistic, you know, so yes, you know, this stuff. Yeah. If there's someone who's betting, who's next to you, there's 30 or 50 times a year where they scream out uncontrollably.
You're so right about parlays being a lottery ticket. Real ones don't do parlays. I love the live sports, the team totals or whatnot, live in-game action. That's the evolution of gambling to me. But, you know,
live is tough, though, because I'm a big live bettor, too. You know, live is tough because you're up against the algorithm.
Yeah.
You know, you're up against, so you have to try to get some sort of emotional. I mean, I love live unders because, you know, the computer is going to bet that most people are going to go over. Mm-hmm. So I like to try to go against the grain, but then you're that dude like Princess Bride. You're like, well, that cup doesn't have that poison, so I won't have that. You know, you're just, again, mental gymnastics.
Yeah, no doubt. Tara Rafael here on the morning, also 95.7 The Game. A sports business reporter knows about the gambling world as well. So Jonte Porter with Toronto. I know you saw this story where some prop bets, they were betting the unders, and there was heavy action on his unders here. And we know about Calvin Ridley being suspended for a year. We had all those Lions players last season suspended for gambling. Where is this going?
Yeah, but we haven't had a player yet who's done that. If it is right, who's like actually, if it's not him betting, it's his boys betting.
Right.
We haven't had the scenario we have not had with a prop is a guy purposely going under, which they can, you can control. So, you know, often when we talk about gambling, we talk about what's good about the legalized gambling is you're able to tell. And when people say stupid things to me like, oh, that game was rigged, and I'm like, it's impossible to rig the game because there's 800 things that have to go on.
Right.
And they're not all together, right? They're not all in on this.
Right.
However, and by the way, teams can't do the unders and but a player certainly can know their prop number, and if he did it for 10 straight, 20 straight games, you might not know. You might not know, because a miss could be in the middle. A miss could be. So it always relies on, and this is why the states have been very careful with props with college players, it always relies on the guy making enough money that he wouldn't do this. But listen, guys have boys they got to take care of or whatever it is. And I think something like this, if it is what it is, maybe it's bound to happen.
Well, what's the solution? How can you stop this? Because do you tap cell phones? Do you tap accounts on social media? Because it feels like a lot of guys, it could be insider trading, right? Like you see on Wall Street, a guy may know
it's
in baseball, for example.
It's you guys will be, this guy is, again, I'm not trying to jump ahead here, but I'm just trying to say for argument's sake, this guy was caught. You don't want to be caught. Do you want to end your career? It's almost like a scare tactic because they can't go all the way in. I mean, you know, with the NBA, with this, the amazing thing that the NBA had never foreseen when gambling got legalized was how these stats every night, because of these guys trying to take big combo parlays on props, people are screaming, oh, that was a team, that wasn't a team rebound, that was that guy's rebound. Yeah. And now I don't have 10.5, and now I lost $30,000.
Yeah.
Like, literally every day I get texts when I was working in the action alert, help me, let me show you this replay. Clearly, he had two hands. It was it wasn't a controlled tip. It was a rebound.
Wow.
Think of how angry we were when Ricky
Davis. What's going on?
I know. Think about how angry society was when Ricky Davis got the augmented triple-double and everyone lost their minds. And now we're going back and retconning everything. So I would take umbrage just in, like, it doesn't matter how much money you make. You can get addicted to anything. Phil Mickelson, Michael Jordan. I mean, these are some of the biggest gamblers on the planet, right? Yep. So I don't think it matters about how much you're making. But if I'm one of the leagues, if I'm one of the leagues right now, that you've got to be scared beyond belief. You've been grabbing at all the DraftKings gambling money, and now all these guys are going down and being linked to it. How nervous are these sports leagues?
I think they're nervous, but I also think they haven't done enough. I mean, have you noticed security is any greater at these games?
No. Not really.
I sure haven't. And now again, what are you relying on? You're relying on that the big bettor might have seven other bets, so he's at a sports bar or at his home. But the big bettor sometimes goes to a game. I'm really scared about that. Right, we had the young kid nicknamed Parlay Pats, who I chronicled, who was winning all these parlays, and then turned out when he was losing these parlays, he was DMing these guys and saying, "I'll cut your neck." You know, athletes who ruined his parlay, cut your neck off. I'll put a pick in your eye or whatever it is. And you know, there are people who are.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, gambling makes you unstable, and this guy made you lose, you know, watch out. So that's one of the things where I think the leagues are scared, but I clearly think they have not done enough in-person security.
What they know, though, with gambling now being involved in sports, they're taking all the money from DraftKings and FanDuel, so they probably are turning a blind eye to it. And, Darren, we were discussing this earlier. I believe that they will probably sweep a lot of cases under the rug because they don't want this negative PR when it comes to gambling and players possibly gambling on themselves. Don't you think that could happen?
Listen, if they're in cahoots in terms of, like, you know, they are lockstep with stats and everything else, you know, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a, hey, you found out about this. I mean, can you imagine, let's say if it is found out, like, that Shohei Ohtani was gambling, like, what does Major League Baseball do? I mean, this is the biggest star to come since who knows? I mean, these are guys. Baseball's a sport that considered, I mean, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper a star. Like, Shohei is, like, on the next level.
Yeah.
For everything.
Darren.
So they, like, how do they? They couldn't. How would they suspend them? They couldn't suspend them. That would be crazy with everything on the line.
Darren.
So yeah, there's self interest. You could imagine, you know, they're private businesses. They can conduct their own investigations, and the players don't ever. There's no subpoena power here. The players don't have to talk unless there's criminality. So yeah, the I'm sure the leagues are scared not only for, you know, what's to come from outside forces, but inside.
Bigger can of worms with more tentacles. The steroid era or what we could be approaching in terms of sports gambling?
I think the steroid era, and having, you know, been firmly in that and covering the business side, you know, I was at ESPN for my first stint when all that started coming down and the Mitchell report and everything. I think that is tougher because, you know, it is seen as performance enhancing and then you do well. I think the gambling still is close because it strikes at the integrity of the game. You don't want to believe that what you're seeing is not what you're seeing, right? Like, right. Whether it's, you know, are the Astros banging on the trash can? Are they, is the guy at second base stealing the sign? Is that you? So I think both involve integrity. I think steroids, because of the guys who used it and the success stories, Brady Anderson or whoever, you know, whoever it is, McGuire or Bonds to the max. I think steroids was a tougher pill to swallow, and I think everyone felt like they had to do it. I think the big guys, I think, are going to be able to stay away from gambling. Even as you said, Jordan and Nicholson involved, I don't think it'll be that crazy. But I think there will continue to be compromising situations in the sport.
What happens once gambling, you're allowed to gamble in stadiums? Like, once they start having ATM machines where you can walk up and make a bet stadiums?
In most cases, you can gamble in stadiums. Like, I'm in Jersey, I can gamble. They're not geofencing any of it out. I can gamble in stadiums. The idea of kiosks in stadiums, with the exception of a couple, like in Washington, like, that has gone out the window because the gambling companies have realized they're better off having you bet on your phone, know who you are, versus you do a one-off bet and print it out of the kiosk. So I don't expect kiosks to come back. They want to walk you in with your phone, and the guys that are doing sponsorship deals within the stadium are trying to get you to download the app so that you could do it on your phone when you go home instead of the one-off kiosk thing.
Makes sense.
So that really hasn't affected things. I will tell you, having been in New Jersey, where it is as pervasive as it is, if you look in the crowd at a Devils game, and I'm a season ticket holder, you can clearly see the moment where the over hits or the under hits. Like, you know, you could look at the crowd and you could see 300 people at the same time on a seemingly meaningless action either cheer or put their head in their hands.
I'm not going to lie. We do this thing on NBC Sports where the edge comes up and the team hits a shot. We're like, oh, the over-under hit. It's so natural. It's so natural. Yeah. You see it in the crowds, too, whether it's Jersey or Vegas or here in California. Darren Revelle, what's
buddy.
The big announcement you got? You want to give us a little tease, man? Don't tease us like that, Darren. What's going on in your world?
Doing something. I'm launching a media company in a couple weeks that's going to cover a space that I love, and I can't wait to share it.
Do you want us part of your media company? We're for sale. Work part time, always for sale.
If you got, you're trying to get me to reveal what would be.
I'm just trying to keep you on the line,
Dan. I have a particular set of skills. I went Liam Neeson on you.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're building some offices. We're building studios.
This
is like a dream.
We're going back to the office.
I like that, Derek.
I am going back to the office. I don't know if that means, you know, I'm going back to the office because I'm going back to the office, or going back to the office so I could concentrate and not have my screaming twins around my office. You know, like this work from home thing. I'm done. I'm done with it.
I like that. We all need to get out the house, too. Darren Revelle here on the Morning Roster 95.7 Game. A lot of good insight there. Thanks for the time.
You got it. Take care.
Anytime. Former ESPN insider, current sports business insider, and I guess the self-proclaimed king of all things gambling and sports reporting. There are so many flexes in that interview.
Unreal.
I am a season ticket holder with the Devils. I am.
I hit up J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I hit up J.J. Watt. I try to sneak
in. Creating a new media company.
I can't even go all the way with the whole Warriors pre and post game because I felt dirty with it.
No. That's gone too far.
So he brought something up. You were talking about kiosks.
Right.
I'm going to give you my experience as a non-gambler, okay, in Vegas for the Super Bowl. I went to, what was the place Whitley was staying at where we met up?
Oh, the Luxor. We went to the Luxor Sportsbook.
Okay. Well, I guess it's part of the MGM, right, in terms of the sportsbook was all connected to the MGM. So when I went to go place the bet, I was like, oh, well, they've got an app. Sure, I'll just do the app or whatever, right? They make you download the app. Well, part of that was a 2 or 3 step authentication of me being me. I had to show my ID to somebody there and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, all right. And so I ended up putting it in that way because they said, oh, you can just redeem your money. You wouldn't have to come back to the kiosk, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to come back afterwards. It's going to be chaos afterwards. So I put money down on the app and then did a couple of bets. I had a little balance or whatever. You're putting the money in the balance. And then throughout the game, what do you think I was getting on my phone?
Alerts. Live betting alerts.
All kinds of them.
Yep.
And then so I was like, all right, well, let me disable the alerts, okay? And then after I didn't win anything, I was like, all right, well, maybe I should just, you know, remove the app. What do you think happened after I removed the app?
They wanted you to come back.
Oh, they sent me 1,000 emails.
Yeah.
So what did I end up doing?
Unsubscribe.
I hit the unsubscribe button.
So you're a novice better.
But I could see how the drip of all of that gets you hooked in.
Well, whenever I watch a game now, I look to see what the spread is. And then I may log into an offshore account just to see what the live action is. Just to get an idea and play along in my head saying, damn, if I would have cashed on that or if I would have bet on this. I was happy that they didn't vote yes on the gambling in California. I was personally happy about that because I know, like, gambling is like alcoholism and drug addiction. And now you're talking about finances. And now you're talking about betting with 401ks and life savings. And, you know, I know people who have been locked out of accounts. You know, friends that I know, friends of friends, that have had to lock people out of accounts because they're gambling too much.
So I guess,
and all of a sudden you get the personal, like, hey, dude, you lost, you know, $15,000 last month. You sure you want to do this?
Can I just your opinion is well taken. I take the other side of it where I believe the gambling will happen regardless of being legal or not. Might as well give our state, which is really broke right now, a chunk of money. I see both sides of the argument.
I see both sides too.
But I'm more of the I don't want to get taxed so much, so let's just take some of the money from the gambling sites and just say screw it.
Well, you know, and there's, like you said, it's always ways to bet. I've been betting through above. Some people are like, how come you don't get a bookie? I was like, I just rather have my business be personable. Let the offshore accounts know what I'm doing, not some guy staying in the Fillmore District who's taking my bets, and then I got to collect Tuesday and whatnot. You're down. Mm. Like, it's the way of the world now. Gambling's huge, but I'm not going to lie to you. I watch a lot of games with the gambling mindset, like, ooh. Like, at the end of the first quarter, some team is driving inside the 10-yard line. There's 2 minutes left. You're like, oh, the over-under in this quarter's hinging on whatever they do over the next 3 plays. And some teams may get an automatic first down and they just let the clock bleed. They're like, I had the over. It's just a different lifestyle, man. And it's not for everybody. And a lot of people like to bet the chase. I like to chase the money, right? Oh, I can strike it rich because I know sports. I know everything about sports. I can talk sports with anybody. So I know this. Trust me, if it was that easy, we wouldn't be in these chairs right now. And I feel like we're as tapped in as anybody out there when it comes to day-to-day moves, injuries, trends, percentages, every single stat, who's playing, who's not playing. And it's still, you still will get burned.
It's funny when you say, like, oh, I know about sports. I don't know anything about the men's college basketball right now.
Well, I mean,
No, just
college basketball.
No, but hear me out. I know nothing. Okay, nothing. I've never won one of these college brackets ever in my life. Ever. Never won one. Okay, I've been doing it forever. And more recently, I stopped tapping into it. KPIX had us at 95.7 submit a bunch of stuff. Guru's ahead of me by, I believe, 2 points.
He's first place right now?
He's in the top 5, and as am I. And I don't know anything.
Wow.
And I'm looking around, and someone like Dan Dibley, I'm calling you out, who has his own algorithm and all over, I'm crushing him. And I'm not trying to like parade on him. What I'm saying is, I know nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like the best I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe it. And I know nothing. So to your point, I feel like the things I'm more educated on, I actually don't know anything about. And the things I don't know anything about, I do better in.
Well, Uncle Looney here on YouTube, and he's so right. The experts are experts at 56, 58%. Think about that. You win 56, 58% of the time, you're considered an expert.
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah. That means that you're profitable. Right. You're so profitable. Minus the juice.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So like,
gotcha.
Like even, I remember I had a great run. It was a year, Clemson won a national championship at Levi Stadium that season. I was on a ridiculous heater. I mean.
What does that mean?
Heater, I mean like.
Like two bets in a row, five bets in a row?
No, it means just the totality of the season.
Okay.
I may have been close to 70% that season.
Wow.
Just with live betting and everything. But that was an outlier. Because ever since then, I've been 51%, 49%, 50%. There's exceptions to the rules, which you're like, oh, I'm hot. I can do this all the time. And then you realize early in the season, like, oh, this is totally different. I don't know anything about this season. These players are different.
Yeah.
These teams are not the same. Like the casual bettor, right, Alabama. They'll bet Alabama just because of the name Alabama. Or LSU, just because they're LSU. But players change every single day. Game changes. Game plans change. And the casual bettor, they don't understand all that. They don't understand tendencies of an offensive coordinator. Now, you can do a deep dive on some of this stuff, and you may get it, but the casual bettor will just go up to the book and bet, and not knowing who's the coach, position coach, what guard is out, what lineman is out, what corner is out. There's so many variables to make it a bet. I look at that stuff, but a lot of casuals don't do that.
I'm getting texts from Dan Dibley right now saying I drove by him. I didn't drive by you, Dan. I ran you over with the bus because I know you have a – what's his system called for college basketball picking? Doesn't he have a system?
Isn't
Ken Palm?
Oh, is that what he uses? Is that somebody else's system?
I don't know what the system is.
Oh. Well, I just know he loves college basketball for the betting and all that stuff. I don't know anything.
Right? He goes down to Vegas every year for March Madness. I know he didn't last year because –
I ran the bus over on him.
You did. But, you know, I'm staying out of that. Hey, Dan Dibley, I got your back. No, you can come right on the bus.
I'm on a heater, hey, Dan. Hey, follow my bets.
Dan Dibley, you get on my bus for free. You get the front seat if you want, or you get the back seat. You can be Rosa Parks if you want. It's all good.
So to me, as someone who's a non-bettor and a non-gambler, all of this stuff is just white noise to me.
Yeah, I know.
And
I
like,
can tell.
Now, here's where
we tried Shasky's bets or Butcher's bets.
It's all white noise
season to
me. I just don't. I know my addictive personality, and I know that I can't go down that
rabbit
hole. And
you're too emotional.
Way too emotional. Well, I'm already emotional. Bonte, what happened in the final 2 minutes of the Warrior game the other day?
I mean,
a game that I had no money on whatsoever. Right. Was I not all capsing the entire text thread?
Yeah, no doubt.
Losing my mind.
I am shook.
I already know I'm emotional. You think I need to add another layer of chaos to my life?
So that's why I tell people gambling's not for everybody. I knew. The way I gamble, Shasky, you could call cap on this, and I've kind of implemented it into the way I watch games now, is for at least the first half, if I know I got a bet right now the entire game, I got to relax for the first half knowing that the bet's not won at halftime.
How?
So what I do sometimes is I kind of lay down, I kind of watch, I'm not going to get overly
emotional.
So
you're like Billy Bean. You're going to go hop on the treadmill
while watching the game.
And not even going to watch.
Well, me personally, probably not a treadmill because, you know, you're looking at me right now. I haven't been on the treadmill in a while. Although, SLTA, weightloss.com, I got my
We're just always selling something on this show.
Well, you know, that's a whole game. We're always selling something and not making nothing off those sales, but that's another conversation
for another
day. It's a lifestyle. Stuck in a test talent.
I don't even know what to say.
You don't want to touch that one.
You're just throwing poop bombs in my lap. I don't know what to do.
Poop bombs?
Yeah, it's going to get us in trouble.
get us in trouble.
Well, I was trying not to swear.
You got me cursed out by Draymond Green. No, he didn't curse me out, but...
So you're now starting to believe that crazy conspiracy that I'm the reason Draymond's mad?
No, I'm actually coming up, and I actually told Guru this the other day.
Shot, you talking to me?
I told Guru, I think I took the bullet for 95-7 a game.
Maybe.
It's always fun game.
So it's funny because when I go to like high school basketball games, I know a buddy who referees, great guy. His name will not go out into the open. But when I run into him, he's like, I always tell these parents, like, do you think I have money on this high school game? Do you think I care one way or the other?
Well, some dudes do have money on a high school game.
But where are you gambling on a high school game?
With other people.
But here's what I'll say. When you get to the NFL and you get to the NBA and you get to Major League Baseball – I don't know how much these guys are making as officials, and we could always say, well, if you make enough money, it doesn't matter. Again, Michael Jordan has made more money than any person could ever need in any lifetime. Any amount of lifetimes that you want, Jordan has made that money. Phil Mickelson, same thing. Some of these guys chase it for the rush, for the addiction, whatever it is. But I think about the officials. Man, as much as we talk about the players manipulating the outcomes, I'm just officials, man.
Well, Tim Donaghy came out. There was an article involving Tim Donaghy last week in the New York Post. I sent it to the thread. Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow about gambling.
Stiney didn't
want to
watch the doc.
Well, that's, you know.
Oh, you watched the doc?
Yeah,
I watched the doc, I said, you cannot tell me that Scott Foster's not dirty.
Oh,
maybe not currently.
What about Tony Brothers?
Well.
Tony Brothers just told everybody, look, I'm not even into basketball, but I didn't realize I was the judge, the jury, and the executioner, or the prosecutor, or whatnot. It's like, what?
He's Judge Dredd.
Dude, that's why Chris Paul came out with his thread. The Instagram was like, dude, he's a TikToker. He's a TikToker who doesn't even love basketball. He's a TikToker who doesn't love basketball. He called him a, that's where the clip was at. It was on TikTok with Tony Brothers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Where he goes, oh, yeah, I don't even love basketball. I don't really care for it that much, but I realized I was the judge and the jury, and now I've got power. Oh, really? And that guy's one of the best referees in the league?
Well, the referee the other night who Fitz was identifying, the guy who played football, the tight end who played college football, he's an excellent referee. And they're like, he's only done one playoff. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
This guy's one of the best referees in the league.
Well, here's Chris Paul Friday night after the Pacers game on Tony Brothers.
Oh, man. Oh, Tony. He's talking to me. I talk back. I called him a TikToker. And I got a tech.
And then later on he goes, I talked back to him and he kicked me out. 6 seconds left, he got kicked out the game. 6 seconds left, you're going to eject a player. Like Tony Brothers and Scott Foster. Like, clean it up. So that's another aspect of it. That's an entirely different aspect of everything happening with sports gambling.
An old version of me got thrown out of a baseball game after the baseball game concluded.
Oh my gosh.
And then it forced me to miss the next two games.
Wow. Funny story, when I coached in Washington, it was 9/11. The week of 9/11. Washington High School was playing Temple Pius. Washington had went through two straight seasons of undefeated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going for a three-peat. And I was helping out. I was the co-offensive coordinator, wide receivers coach, and outside linebackers coach. So I was next to the offensive coordinator, Ryan Miller. Shout out Ryan Miller, who's always listening. We're in the bleachers. And they called a bogus pass interference. We actually came back and won a game 2019.
So wait, are you in the booth?
No, we're in the bleachers because the booth is so small at Temple Pines back in the day. So we're in the bleachers on the other side.
Steve Wilkes in it.
So we're at the top of the booth next to Ryan Miller. And they call a PI.
Lord Bonte Hill, not Lord Fangio. Keep going.
So I call a pass interference. You're always running through my stories. Never give you a chance to talk.
I got to add the funny.
No, this is not necessary. It's a story. The funny's coming. Trust me. The punchline's coming. 9/11. Week of 9/11, referee throws a PI in the end zone on Washington, on ours.
Did he point at you like Paolo Banchero?
No, I was in the bleachers, Shasky. He didn't point at me. I was in the bleachers. And I go, that's a horrible freaking call. And the entire stadium hears me. And so later on that week, we get a letter from somebody, a parent in Marin, said, I was just trying to enjoy a good game with my son, the week of 9/11, and this offensive coordinator, this coach from Washington, just kept cursing at the referees. Brian Miller sent me to the sideline. So then we created the Hill file, which is basically all the bad deeds we were doing, like as coaches or players, people getting suspended. So I basically cursed out a ref. And from the bleachers, we end up coming back and winning the game.
So,
but Coach Miller sent me from the bleachers back to the sideline. He's like, dude, you got to chill out, bro. You're out of control.
So the week of 9/11, the entire country's in mourning. We're just happy to be out, and we're still a little afraid. And Bonte Hill is screaming at officials.
Yeah, screaming at officials. So it all happens.
Everybody's got a little butcher in them.
No, I mean, everybody's got a little Bonte in them. Been doing this, son.
I'm having a meltdown.
We've been cursing out. I'm glad I was able to get through the story, for crying out loud. I didn't think we was going to land a plane there.
We're going to land it with Fast Five right now.
Jeez.
It's time for the United Airlines right now. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I mean, gosh, I'm like United with panels flopping down everywhere. Good Lord.
All right, stop. 9/11 plane talk.
Oh, I'm not 9/11 plane talk. I'm just saying.
Land this thing in the Hudson, buddy.
Let me get to my point. Good Lord. That story's not even good. appropriate.
My ADD kicked in.
Hi, Carter. Nice to meet you. This is what goes on every morning.
This is why
Pride of Stuart Hall.
Yeah.
Adam and SF must be jealous of work because Carter's in the building. Why don't I just talk to you? Dude asked me all a million questions for his little project, USF. You better got an A on that project, Carter.
He did.
You better got
an A. He says he did. He interviewed every single one of us, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, apparently, man. Well, I didn't know he was going to interview Shasky. Had I known that, I would have told him, hell no. Keep it moving. All right, Shasky, go ahead. Just beef up Shasky. He's goddamn right it is.
I went to 850 yesterday, and I got postponed for jury duty. What a sad, sad, sad institutional practice that we do nowadays, jury duty. The amount of people who are willing and able to go for jury, let me just tell you, don't commit a crime, folks, because these people have nothing to do. They want to be in trial forever, some of these people.
Stop snitching, man.
No, I'm not snitching.
Oh!
I can't believe we're still doing jury duty the way we do. It's just, God.
My final thought is...
Such an inconvenience.
My final thought is I may riot with the Gruel of Prize Picks. He's taking Wiggins over 4.5 rebounds today in Miami. Over 4.5 rebounds. Andrew Wiggins, 5 rebounds in Miami. My final thought is, I'm riding with the goo on Prize Picks.
Yeah, because you can count on Andrew Wiggins for consistency. We know that.
Goose picks.
And Goose picks.
His picks have been awful.
It's the NFL's rule of the world, guys. They're dominating Christmas now every single year. Adam Silver. He's got to change the schedule, guys.
Hey,
the NBA is so screwed some of these days.
He got offered that Disney job. He's got to be thinking twice about that.
You never say no to Disney. My final thought is we're getting a WNBA team a year too late. Watching Iowa and West Virginia yesterday, could you imagine if we could see this team start off with Caitlin Clark as its centerpiece, with Steph Curry also
Brink?
In town? That or Cam Brink, we could have gone for her as well. But I'm already using we. But
Kiki. Kiki from Stafford dropped 41-16.
I don't think she's coming out.
Yeah,
though,
she's not.
Yeah.
But man, maybe the next year. I don't know. Keep an eye on
next year. I think Paige Buchers, I think, is still coming back next year. So that's a player to keep an eye on next year if you want to watch some women's college basketball.
And Joe Lacob is guaranteed a championship with the WNBA team in the first 5 years. I love that.
No pressure, Paige.
I love that.
I mean, Steve Cohen did the same thing with the Mets, and look where they're at.
Well, Joe Lacob's got four banners.
Okay.
He's different. He told us when he traded Monte. We will hang a banner next to 75. We all laughed at him. We all laughed. And here we are with Chase Center talking about the luxury tax and everything. So you can laugh at Joe Lacob. I won't do it. You can. I won't do it. I'll take him at his word.
So he's going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks.
The downfall is near. Hey, it's coming hard.
When the parade is happening for the WNBA team, don't come. Don't come. Because I tell you, I told you so. Don't come. Parade's happened in the first 5 years. I do believe Joe Lacob. No, I don't get checks for Lacob. I get paid by NBC not to go to St. Warriors. That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity.
That's elite here.
At home or on the go.
It's unreal.
That is elite here. I got one headphone off. He's always talking mess. Shasky always seems to piss me off. You get the fastest internet to all your devices. Stine Eagle coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.